Welcome to the When Bearing Witness podcast. This podcast is an invitation to explore trauma-informed storytelling, a safe and healthy process of gathering and telling painful stories. It's hosted by me, Maria Bryan, a career storyteller. I have long believed that storytellers play a crucial role in making the world a better place. For a brief moment, I was introduced to the concept of trauma-informed storytelling, and it changed my life. Join my conversations with trauma-informed experts and social good storytellers as we help shape the intersection of trauma-informed care and the storytelling process. Stories are sacred, and we can create safe spaces to tell and share them. Hello and welcome. We have Marty Stettler here with us today. Marty is the CEO of Rebel Queen and the podcast host of The Rebel Maker. She knows exactly what she's doing when it comes to helping women get their books done and into the world. She has a no BS approach to publishing and problem solving, along with her tenacity to make things happen. I'm bringing Marty on today to wade through the complexities of writing your own painful and traumatic stories. Marty, welcome to the show.
Maria, thank you. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited to have you on. I love your energy.
This is going to be great.
Okay, awesome. So you work with women. Not only do you work with women, but you have this strong belief that women have the power to change the world. Mm-hmm. So why is it important to you to support women to tell their stories and to have a clear path to tell their stories?
You know, I think it's super important for, I'm a girl's girl. Like, I'm a woman's woman. I am like loyal to a fault. Like, girl, I got you. If I tell you I got you, I mean, I got you. I think it's important because we need each other. If we can just lock arms, you know, and recognize that we're all on a path and some of us are farther ahead and some of us are farther behind. I think that you only need to be one step ahead to help the person who's coming up alongside you.
Absolutely. Why do you feel women are held back from writing books?
Because we hold ourselves back for whatever reason. I can tell you that 100% of the first-time authors that I have worked with, and 100% of the women that I have talked to that say they want to write a book, but they can't for whatever reason, those reasons, who am I to write this book? Who's going to read it? There's already like 47,000 books on this subject. So why would I write one more? You know, no one's going to buy it. It's just like limiting, we limit ourselves from doing that. That's what holds us back. We hold ourselves back.
Right. I feel that so strongly because what I care about is trauma-informed storytelling. And I'll tell myself, this is so niche. Like, who would want to read a book on something?
Yeah. Well, so, and you know, I think when we were talking at some point on our, you know, like previous conversations, everyone has experienced trauma. Everyone.
Yeah. And we both read The Body Keeps the Score.
Yeah.
Which took me a really long time to get through.
Yeah.
It was one of those like required readings if you're going to try to understand trauma. So I remember us chatting about learning about trauma, holding space for trauma, brings up your own trauma.
Yeah, it absolutely does.
Marty, you said something so interesting. I found this on your Instagram. You were encouraging women by saying, tell your story. Yeah. Write it out. It doesn't have to be for the world. Write it for you, then decide when it's time for others. Mm-hmm. And that hit me so deeply. Coming from a trauma-informed storytelling perspective, there's a few things here that I want to kind of talk about. One is how important it is for us to tell our stories and articulate our stories, which doesn't mean we have to get on stage to do that. So tell me a little bit more, like,
what that means for you and what compelled you to share that.
So, you know, there's three parts when you do books, right? You have to write it, you have to publish it, you have to market it. So there's three very distinct parts. And if you have not written your story, if one of those things that are stopping you from writing your story is the fact of selling the book, like that's putting the cart before the horse. Mm-hmm. Right? Like you don't sell a book that's not written. You know, you don't publish a book that's not written. So sometimes just the thought of writing is paralyzing. So you don't write because you're already worried about how you're going to sell it. You know, let me just take the pressure off you and you don't need to do anything else except write your story. Mm-hmm. And then when it's done, then you can determine what you're going to do next. And, you know, sometimes just writing your story for the sake of writing it is all that's needed, just because it's such a healing process when you go through and put your story, you know, onto paper, proverbially, but, you know, type it out, put it on paper, just getting it out.
When I was studying trauma and resilience, they really honed in how important it is to have support systems to heal from trauma. But there are a few things that you can do on your own to support yourself in the healing process. And one of them is telling your own story. And that really stuck with me because I've had this fear that in my line of work, I'm encouraging people to tell their story when telling their story is just going to cause more pain. But in actuality, it can be part of the healing process. Do you find that to be the case when you're working with women?
It's
cathartic and healing to be telling their story or writing their story in those early stages?
Yeah, I do. I don't care how healed you are. When you are going back and writing your story, you have to relive that story in your head. You have to process. You have to process thoughts, feelings, who was in the room, what did the room look like? And you cannot picture a thing without, I guess, essentially putting yourself back in there. Now, you might be coming from a place where you have already healed from this, but you're still putting yourself right back into that thing that has caused you pain. Have you heard of compassionate journaling?
No.
Okay.
Tell me.
So my therapist had me do this, and he was an amazing therapist. You know, there was a certain issue that I really struggled with, and I was having a hard time moving past this particular scenario in my life. And he encouraged me to do some compassionate journaling. And when you compassionately journal, when you do this method, you sit down every single day for 5 days. And you journal what happened. Every single day, you journal the exact same thing. Here's what I can tell you happened for me. I started day one. I am writing the story out. And this particular story had caused me so much anger that when I am writing this story out, I am angry. I am so angry. And I am just verbally vomiting everything that I want to say and get out on this paper. And then the next day, I am doing the exact same story. And here's what's happening. On day two, I'm noticing that I'm processing different emotions. I'm processing different points of view. By day three, I am now processing more things that I had not processed in the previous 2 days. And by the time day five has rolled around, I have completely reframed the story in my head. Now, am I healed from this story? Much more than I was, you know, before I started this. I'm going to keep it real. I don't think that I'll ever, like this particular scenario, I am not sure that there will ever be a time that I am not triggered emotionally from this. But I'm at least in a place that I can talk about it, that I can write about it. And, you know, it was amazing. I think one of the biggest things that when I wrote this, you know, I'm just thinking about this now as I'm like processing my own like journey through this, processing it now, it made me have just a little bit of compassion for the person that really was like that person in the story that caused the pain. And at first, when I first noticed that, I did not want to have compassion. And I was having compassion. So for me, it was a way for me to start healing through. So I would tell people, like, if there is a story that you're holding on to that you need to reframe, you know, because people talk about rewriting, just rewrite the story, just rewrite the story. How do you rewrite a story? Because fact is fact. How do you rewrite it as if it hasn't happened?
Right.
It happened, but you rewrite the story by reframing things and healing through it, you know?
I love that.
This episode is sponsored by Bloomerang, a solution that helps nonprofits like ShowerUp. ShowerUp provides mobile showers and personal care for those experiencing homelessness. Thanks to Bloomerang, ShowerUp increased their volunteer signups by 60% and first-time donors by making it easy to give right on their site. ShowerUp's executive director, Paul Schmidt, said, "Bloomerang is an ideal marriage of volunteer and donor management. The deeper we get into it, the more we love it." If you want to see how ShowerUp easily manages their volunteer and donors with Bloomerang, go to bloomerang.com/bearing-witness or visit the link in the show notes to learn more.
And I love the word reframing it is a great way to talk about telling stories factually,
yeah,
but maybe with some empathy. So like when you're working with women to tell their stories, mm-hmm. I'd imagine if they're working with you, they're at least in the beginning of stages of being ready, but I'm sure it might come as a surprise to them, some mm-hmm. of the trauma that comes up. Like, how do you navigate that? Or maybe even share the realities?
Listen, I have talked to so many people that they did not realize like this healing process that was happening. Like they did not realize it until it was done. And they're like, wow, the fact that I had to relive, that I had to write it down, that I had to tell it, that I had to go through the editing process, you know, because you have to revisit it. I mean, through the process of writing a book, like you write it. Like, so I tell my people, write it. Like you just need to brain dump it. You just need to get it out of you onto paper. You know, don't go back and edit it. Like I never, 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 never go back and edit while you're writing. You know, get it out first and then you go back. So you're having to revisit it. So, you know, that initial brain dumping is going to be really hard. Going back and editing it, especially during these moments where you're like telling a piece of your story, it's going to be really hard. So I tell people like, A, if you're on the struggle bus, absolutely text me, like just shoot me a text message. If I have a minute that I can get on the phone with you, I will. If you just need me to give you some like, okay, I totally understand, like deep breaths, get grounded, go outside, take a walk, remove yourself from what you're doing. If you can come back to it and continue, absolutely do so. Like, let us not get stuck on a part that you cannot go back and finish. And if that's going to be the case, let us just remove that part for now if you're not ready. And I think it's really important for them to have somebody that they can, if it's like, it should be somebody other than me. I mean, because usually our relationship is starting because of this like book process. So they really need somebody other than me, somebody like, you know, a heart sister or something that they can connect with. But it's super important for them to find somebody who understands what they're going through and who understands and supports the goals of what they're doing and why they're doing it. This is super cheesy, but the best way I can explain it is like, you just need to be able to recognize who your dream keepers are and who your dream killers are. And, you know, our spouses, our best friends, our sisters, our family, you know, they're not always your dream keepers. Like those people can very easily be those that kill dreams, dream killers. They should not be the person that you connect with. So you really need to find that person who knows you, who loves you, who supports your goals.
I love that so much. I have this like very silly analogy that just brought me back to.
Let's hear it.
When I was planning my wedding a very long time ago, I read an article that was like, find the one or two people that are going to say yes to all of your wedding ideas. And those are the only people you talk to. Because there would be so many people who would be like, I'm going to do this kind of flower. And they'd be like, no, don't. Or we're going to do a seating chart. No, don't. And I found two people that every idea I had, they're like, you're the most brilliant, magical being. And this is going to be the most gorgeous wedding I've ever been to. And those are the people that I was like, okay, you're my two women. And my husband, fiance at the time, was not necessarily that person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're right. You're right. In this much bigger, more precious, sacred context, it's true. You don't necessarily have to expect your sister or your spouse or your parents to be that person that's like, yes, get your dream. Like it might be something very, someone very unexpected that is just going to be like, you're brilliant and magical. And yes, go for this dream.
Yes. Do you need your hype girls when you are pursuing dreams?
Yes.
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 Step one, find your hype girl or hype person, right? Like find someone that is just going to yes you and cheerlead you on. And two, to something that you guide these women through is find support for your nervous system and for your spirit. That might be therapy. Therapy isn't for everyone, but it might be therapy. It might be meditation and breathing. It might be yoga. It might be taking walks. Yeah. It might be like holding your dog.
Yeah.
But I love this idea of having a support system, but also you are going on this journey of writing a book, especially if you're writing a book of your own story, your own lived experiences. Prepare for that because it might be harder than you think it's going to be. It might pull stuff out.
Yeah.
And I'd imagine that it would be same writing your story. Even if you feel like you've had years and years of therapy, you've healed and it sounds like you've experienced this, you might have someone that feels like they have healed, but you're going back to that place, to that time, to that experience. That can be very painful. It likely will be more painful than maybe you think. And there's things that you can do to support yourself on that journey.
Yeah. Listen, stories change lives. Stories change lives. They change your life. They change those people that you're talking to lives, you know, like we don't change because someone has presented facts and figures. We change because we have been impacted by somebody else's story. Right. Bottom line.
What part of your role as a storyteller are you most proud of?
The role that I am most proud of is my vulnerability. Is keeping it real, being very honest about who I am and what I do, because I'm very quick to throw myself on Front Street. Like I'll give you the real, the raw, the not so great parts, because I know that if I do that, then I am setting the expectation that you are safe to do that with me. I like to go deep really quick, and I don't expect anybody to go deep if I'm not also willing to go deep and go deep first. I can have private conversations with friends and go really deep and, you know, bear that which is on my mind and even argue that which is on my mind. But when I started putting it out publicly on social media, when I picked up like my rallying cry and being really honest with, you know, struggles, excitement, where I'm going, what I'm doing, like it's very risky. And people love, it makes me proud because people love that I do that. I can't tell you how many women sweet Jesus, this is going to make me cry. I can't tell you how many women have been in my inbox thanking me for things that I have said, because I have now normalized it for them that they are not alone. Because so many times, and I'm just going to say women, so many times women feel like they struggle alone. You know, we are not islands. You know, we are not the only ones that deal with the things that we deal with, but we don't share those things, whether publicly or with our friends, because we're afraid of judgment. We're afraid of what they might think. We're afraid that they might treat us differently. We're afraid that somebody out there reading our stuff is going to know that everything is not always sunshine and lollipops, right? That when you have that person who's willing to say, this is what's really going on. It breaks down barriers to real connection. And if that means that I continue putting myself out on Front Street, that makes someone feel safe enough to say, I thought I was the only one, Marty, thank you so much. Then I will, on Front Street, here I come, you know?
And there lies the power of storytelling.
Exactly.
Can you tell us about the Rebel Maker podcast?
Well, thank you. I would love to tell you Rebel Maker podcast. So my podcast is focused to women writers, you know, women authors, anybody that's in the publishing industry, you know, just to kind of peel back the layers and to provide value and resources to those that are listening to move forward in, you know, their writing publishing business.
So for the dirty on publishing,
yes,
go listen to Rebel Maker podcast.
Yes.
I love your podcast. It's such a joy.
Thank you.
So folks who are thinking about writing a book or struggling through writing a book, how can they connect with you and work with you on their journey?
Yeah, of course. So you can find me in all of the places. It's Marty with an I, M-A-R-T-I, Stotler, S-T-A-T-L-E-R. My business handles on Instagram and Facebook is at Rebel Queen Books. You can even follow me on my personal page, which is where a lot of this, like, throwing myself out on Front Street happens. And that's Marty Bowling Stotler, like bowling like the game. My website is rebelqueen.co, and you can book calls with me on my site. And listen, I love talking to authors. I love especially talking to new authors, and I love talking to people who are thinking about writing a book and they just want to have a conversation with someone. You know, there's 1.5 million books that are published every single year without fail, year over year. And there are authors for everyone, right? Like, yes, I publish books. There's authors for everyone. Not everybody's a good fit for me. I'm not a good fit for everybody. It doesn't negate the conversation that, you know, needs to be had. And I highly encourage people to, you know, connect with multiple, you know, women in the industry. And, you know, if they just want to have a conversation and understand how things work, or, you know, how should I structure my book? Like, I freely have conversation and freely give.
I so appreciate your work in supporting women to tell their story and being a rebel while doing so. That's what we need.
Yes.
And thank you for holding space with me today. Thank you so much for this really important conversation.
Yeah, this has been great. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of When Bearing Witness. This podcast was produced by our friends at Rustic Roots. They are video storytellers passionate about sharing the impact of nonprofits. From story ideation to beautiful and powerful videos on screen, they've got you covered. Get in touch over at rusticroots.co. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please do subscribe and leave a rating and review. And remember, your role as a storyteller is making the world a healthier, safer, cleaner, and happier place. Thank you for bearing witness. Until next time.